Spilling Realty Podcast with Alex and Kendall.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Spilling Realty. I am Kendall. I'm here with my co-host, Alex Thomas, a.k.a. the Maryland Mortgage Dad. Alex, hi.
How's it going, Kendall?
Pretty good.
Good.
I'm a little bit scruffy today because I'm just coming over a cold, and something else that I'm going to talk about with our guest later today. It's called the PF. I'll keep you updated. It's very serious, but why don't we just get into it? Would you like to introduce our guest today? I'm so excited about this.
Yes, absolutely. So as part of our initiative to give our listeners a peek behind the curtain to see what really happens in the real estate business, our guest today is an award-winning transaction coordinator for the Norman Home Team of Keller Williams Gateway and Blue Door Residential Property Management. She's also a clothing designer whose colorful personality shines through in her designs, as you'll see here in a second. She's the former president of the LPGA Amateur Golf Association of Baltimore. So when she's not keeping a real estate machine running, you can find her on the golf course. She is a wife, mother, an email scammer's worst nightmare, and I'm proud to call her a confidant and a friend, Jean Tate.
Oh, thank you so much. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. This is round two. We had some technical difficulties the first time.
Before we had the opportunity to have amazing production, Alex and I were kind of doing this on our own, but now we've got other Jean here, who is like the best. So we're going to do this a redo, round two. Alex, you always give such great introductions.
Thank you.
How much time do you spend writing those?
I think you saw it at lunch, usually about 30 minutes.
That's not true. He thinks about it a lot.
I do. I think about it a lot.
A few days before.
Yeah.
I kind of like my voice today.
I told you. Yeah, it's going to work for the
pod.
It's a little sultry. I'm into it.
So,
Jean, thank you so much for joining us. This is super exciting. We have a lot to talk about. You're an entrepreneur, real estate agent. Before we got on here today, we were sharing and swapping property management stories. I'm now also working with a property management company. And for those of you that have been tuning in for the last 2 years, you always know I have the most insane stories. But let me tell you, property management has taken it up a notch. And I'm going to be writing a coffee book. I'm really excited about this. But anyway, so Jean, let's tell us, just like before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about who you are. The 411, give us a quick background, please.
Sure. So I'm actually a native of Maryland, and I grew up and raised out in Bel Air area. Blair. So lived in Cleveland for 22 years, and then I moved back here back in 2015. So it's I'm really proud of my Maryland roots. That's actually why I have my little side business where I make all kinds of creative things, because there's just not enough Maryland stuff out on the market. I just can't find enough Maryland stuff. I almost wore my Maryland shirt because I make a dozen of those.
Tons of them. Yep. They're all over Facebook.
You have Maryland flag pride. You love that flag.
I absolutely do. Yes.
Got it. So you're born here. Where'd you go to school? How did you end up to where you are now?
So I'm a proud graduate of C. Milton Wright High School. And then when I was in Ohio, that's where I went, and I got my bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Baldwin University. And what was the other question?
How did you get to where you are now?
Because
I know you didn't start out in real estate.
I didn't. Okay, so you threw out a lot of different titles, and so...
No, Alex did.
That's right.
I did not do that intro. That was Alex.
That's all my doing. Yeah,
so I've had a really... a strange career story. So when I got out of high school, I couldn't go to college right away. We couldn't afford it. So I went into the military. So I was in the Air Force, and I wanted to become an MP or an accountant, because I was just thinking about how do I get a job when I get out. But I didn't qualify for either. So they did some more testing, and they said, oh, how about if we put you in intelligence? And I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I'm going to be working in intelligence. It's an oxymoron, but that's what I did. So when I got out of the Air Force, then that is what gave me the money to go to college. And as I was doing that, I actually started programming. So I used to write code on Unix, which a lot of people today would look at Linux. It's the exact same thing. And then I got into the world of banking. So I was working at a headquarters doing support on computers, and then that kind of moved into doing compliance. So a lot of detail-oriented things, mm-hmm. running very large teams, and then from there, I left there and I started doing consulting with small businesses. Finished my MBA, and I just really love being on the small business side. It's great to work for a large bank with 10,000 people, mm-hmm. But I actually really excel working with smaller groups of people. I just really enjoy that because you can really see your results right away, what you're doing. So I
had that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
So as I enjoyed consulting, I would help small businesses with problems. A lot of times it was that they had HR issues or they didn't know how to do marketing. Any little thing that they wouldn't know how to do, typically I could come in and either help them or get them the resource. So when I moved here, I was looking for a job and I was looking in at any kind of small companies that were out there. And Tina Bellevaux had a job open. She is...
She's great.
Yeah, she's a fantastic, great team. And at the time, she was with Keller Williams. Now she's with EXP and doing great. So she took me on as her operations manager. And so I was handling marketing and listing and handling customer service. It was a small team. So I did that in 2017. And then I moved to Joe Norman's team, the Norman Home team of Keller Williams Gateway. So that was in... December of 2017, and so I've been there for like 5.5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're like the glue that really holds everything together, really. You're like the connector.
I love that, yes. I mean, I usually tell people that really, like, I go looking for cracks, and then I go in and I fill those cracks, because it's always the stuff no one else wants to do. But I get it done. But you're right, like, yeah, I like to connect.
The problem solver.
Yeah.
Did this passion for operations management and like order and stuff, do you think that originated with your military background or where does that come from?
You know, actually, I think it's just something that you're born with.
Mm. I agree.
Yeah, it's just, I wouldn't have known that before. But actually, in the last couple of years, I took this one class and they were showing us this study they did where people fall into these categories. You're either highly detail-oriented, like you're an accountant type person, or your middle management kind of person who's problem solving and is a little bit, you know, in the detail and also a little bit in the visionary. And then you've got your visionaries. And those are the people that typically are CEOs, they're running companies, but they can't do anything for themselves. They have the fantastic idea. Then they go get people to do those ideas.
Right.
So I happen to fall in that middle category, the middle manager. And you know what, I didn't used to like that title. I was like, because it just has such a bad connotation. But I don't mind it now because really my job is to serve others and to figure out, you know, how to solve problems. It's what I do.
Yeah. And again, you do the stuff that nobody wants to do. It's hard. Even with property management, nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's really, really tough. And we'll get into that in a minute. Go ahead, Alex.
How would you describe, I guess, your role with Blue Door Residential Property Management?
So I'm the director of operations for both Norman Home Team and for Blue Door Property Management. And what I do is a lot of system creation because our company has been out, we started planning it in 2020 and we actually launched in 2021. And when you start a new business, there's a ton that needs to be documented. You need to figure out your processes. There are problems that come up and you have to find unique solutions to things you never knew that you had to know how to do.
Oh my God, it's, especially in property management.
Yeah.
You'll learn about the craziest stuff that you're like, I thought I saw this all, like being a buyer's agent sitting through all these home inspections and you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's really different. So, but I feel like I'm a really great match with Joe because he has a ton, he has years and years of experience, over 10 years of experience doing property management because he has his own investments and he's helped many other people. So it just seemed like a great fit because he had the vision of where we needed to go. And then I was able to say, okay, let's lay out all the pieces and we're still working on it. Every so often, it's like we'll have a little session where we're like, let's brain dump. Let's figure out how we now tackle these things.
It's funny. I feel like property management, just like even with real estate, because now you have all these like new contract changes and et cetera. But I feel as though like everything is like, it's always like a constant learning curve. You know, we were just talking about before we came on air, I just finished up at Red Court. And it's
always
just
fun.
You know, yeah, but you just are constantly learning because, you know, like normal people, I don't even know what the right word is, but it's like, okay, rent is due, like bills are due, I pay everything on time. And then you learn really quickly how people are very good at coming up with all these different ways, and there's this lovely thing called Google and Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. So they come in thinking that they're attorneys, thinking that they're real estate agents, and then you just have to sort of like be like, yeah, no. Like this one lady tried to say, you know, you're not licensed. I was like, false. Here you go. Like, here's both licenses, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
But property management's like a different animal. What is your least favorite thing about being in property management? Do not tell me there is not one thing.
I'm not gonna say there's not one thing. It's just more that we've been very blessed. It's been really good. We love the clients that we get. We've had pretty decent tenants. But you know what? I guess that's it. When you do get the bad tenant, where, you know, you have to evict them, especially if they've made damage, it just makes me mad on a personal level.
Yeah, it does. Well, because it's like, it's not your property, first and foremost.
Right. And I treat our properties as if they're mine. So yeah. When our investors trust us, that's the reason why we got into this, is that, you know, we treat it as if this was our property, our money that's being spent. And so that is the thing that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I think, too, like, with property managers, it's not just that. It's like, I think what really gets me is because I'll do a lot of...
I tossed it.
I think what really gets me with property management is because I'll do a lot of the open houses, too. Why are you lying to my face? Because it's going to show up in your background check or any sort of screening. And if you were just honest and upfront, I'm sure we could have worked something out. Like, if you didn't have, like, the exact credit, or if there was a reason for maybe why you have a rap sheet of mine along. But don't, like, come to these open houses, talk my ear off for, like, 25 minutes, and just say, yeah, I've got perfect credit, I've got this. It's like buyers who are like, I can afford $1 million house. Let's, like, try 200,000.
Right. Let's start there.
So yeah. I think for me, what I think the most frustrating thing is, just because I feel like sharing this, is I just don't like being lied to. Because we always want to work with people. And, you know, sometimes people have, like, look, stuff happens. Like, I get it. You know, I've been there. I was that girl, like, when I was younger, when I was bouncing around with bar jobs, I couldn't pay my rent. Like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, I 100% get it. But I was always honest. And so I think that that's, like, one thing that just really is, like, runs rampant amongst property management world is the lying. And it's outrageous.
And you have to deal with it every day.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Or when people call and they say, hey, I'm calling about this property that's for rent. Cool.
Which one?
Yeah. I don't know, the one I saw online. Okay, just want to try this again. What's the zip code? I don't know. Again, it's online. The one other thing, too, I will say with property management is the scammers, and I think that's horrible. We did an episode about a catfish landlord who was completely fake and screwed out one of my clients several thousand dollars, let her live there. She was never even supposed to be there. And then because of all this, she couldn't buy a house. It was a nightmare. But the amount of scamming, too.
Yeah.
I think it is unreal. People steal stuff off MLS. You can find this your same property on Facebook Marketplace for half the price. And these people are taking the month's rent, writing these fake leases that they're somehow copying that look like MAR leases, and scamming these people out of thousands and thousands of dollars and never get caught because these people are paying with Cash App and you can't refund it. Have you seen that?
Oh, like, scamming? It has not happened to us, but yes, we have seen it. And I've seen where our listings have been put out there on Craigslist.
It's
so
crazy.
You know, I go and shut that down. We also do a lot of education with our buyers. I do a lot of blog writing now.
Do you?
Yeah, and actually I had just written something, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that was kind of outlining all the scams that buyers and renters sometimes, you know, get pulled into and
that
how to
horrible.
Avoid that.
There's a ton, yeah.
But yeah, whenever we have renters, when we start having conversations with them, I love talking with those renters about the fact that you have to be really careful if you're just going to start calling up, you know,
like
people on Zillow, people on, you know, that's why having an agent represent you, like, they can do the background check to make sure that this person owns the house or is the property manager for that property. Whereas when you're on your own, the scammers are really taking advantage.
They are. And it's like, again, like, I mean, I'll just tell you a quick story that happened a few weeks ago, and then we'll get back to this. There was somebody that called our company line and was like, hey, I'm here to get the keys. What are you talking about? I'm here to get the keys. My moving truck is here. Like, I signed that lease. And I'm like, what? So I was like, okay, what address is this? And I look it up and I was like, ma'am, who did you speak with? And then she gave me the name and I said, that is nobody that is here. Hold on, let me come meet you. I get there, this is in Parkville. And this woman has a moving truck, she has her baby and her husband. And I was like, you're not getting the keys today. I am so, 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 so sorry. And then she showed me all the messages and she got scammed $1,200.
Wow.
She's like,
painful.
But then she's like, can you refund me the money? And I was like, well, no, because it wasn't us. But that just goes to show, I mean, the moving truck. And I was like, and then it found out that we found out that somebody had copied on Facebook Marketplace and advertised it for half of the amount. And yeah, like it was crazy. It was horrible. So scammers, buyer side, and especially property management. And I think with like Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. So buyers and renters, you know, buyers and renters beware for sure.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
You're good. I think it's good to share those horror stories sometimes just to
it's
keep
not
people
a horror
like,
story.
Kind of
it's like,
vigilant.
Whoa.
You know? Yeah, it is to me. I wouldn't want to be stuck in that situation.
Well, and you know, people are like, well, how could you be that dumb? How could somebody be that naive? No. Let me tell you how elaborate these scams are to where they're actually copying email addresses that look like it's coming from XYZ company or they're copying and creating fake web pages too. So it's anybody could fall suspect to it. Like it's not like, oh, these people are naive. Like, no, these scammers are getting that good, which is what's scary. They're even doing it with agents. One of the girls I work with over at Next Step, her whole email got hacked and buyers were about to wire funds for a house because they thought it was her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I will never ask you for money. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like horrible.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
Crazy.
It really is. I guess, do you want to stay on property management?
No, we can divert.
Cool. I guess I have one more question for you, Gene, for the real estate side, and we'll hop into some more fun stuff. With Joe and the team over there, you guys are obviously top producers. What is one of the most, I guess, standout attributes that you think is important to have as a top producing team?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it really depends on the team that you talk to. But for our team, the thing that Joe and I really value is people. You know, if you take care of people, they're going to take care of you.
Right.
You take care of your clients, you go above and beyond, they're going to want their friends and family to come to you. And so that's what ours is. We're not going and looking at, you know, listings that are several million dollars and only targeting those people. Mm-hmm. Instead, no, we just are helping people. So we have all kinds of listings and all kinds of buyers at all different price points. And actually, a lot of times, some of the buyers that come to us are the ones that, you know, other people have said, come back when you have money. One of my favorite is Janet Lewis. You and I worked together on that one. You helped her to get the loan. And she said for 10 years, people kept saying, come back when you have money. And that just that just hurt my heart, you know? And it's like,
that's horrible.
Yeah, but and you were able to get her in the loan. I was, I wasn't the agent, but I was working on the team. Genevieve was able to get her a home, and, you know, and it was just great. Like, so we just love those kinds of stories, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe somebody would say that. That's so tacky.
Yeah, it took us 30 minutes after a home buyer seminar, I think, just sitting down with her and kind of going over, you know, going over a credit report and saying, hey, look, you're not that far off. If you do this, this, and this, then you're good. And she did it.
Yeah.
And she got a house. So, I mean, and she's still, we still stay in touch to this day. It's a great story.
It is awesome.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of like organizational product or platform that you cannot live without?
Right now it's starting to be Todoist.
Yeah.
So
we talked about this last time I looked into it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I really like it. We have the paid version for our office, and then I use the free version for my small business that's on the side. But it's awesome because, you know, anywhere I'm at, I always have ideas. Everything's always spinning. So anytime I can, you know, brain dump it and then know that I can go back to it, it has been really life-changing. I mean, so we're even using that for a lot of our systems, too, because you can build templates in there. So it's a fantastic product when you need more than a to-do list. You need reminders and a place to store
things. And can it go out to the whole
team? We have our whole, I shouldn't say our whole team is using it. Some of our agents are not using it, but the majority of our team is using it. Mm-hmm. And we enjoy that because we can all share things together.
So we can
share events, and that's really helpful.
That's great. Now, speaking of your small business, Tate Signature Style. Did you teach yourself how to sew, or did you have any kind of like foundational skills, or how does that work? Because I can't even imagine. I'd be poking myself in the hand.
Before we actually do that, tell us about
towel.
Tate Signature Style.
Yeah.
Sure. So this is something that I've wanted to start for a long time. So I just think that, number one, there's not enough bright clothing out there. There's not enough Maryland stuff out there. Yes, this is another one that I made. Thank you. So I started making accessories for golf for friends, and it just started growing because people were like, yeah, I can't seem to find any place where I can get, you know, the Maryland flag in like six different places, or, you know, and so I just saw this niche. You know, we've got Route One Apparel. They're a fantastic local company. I'm not related to them in any way, but I adore them. And so I love being in the same space with them where, you know, they, I feel like they were the trailblazers for Maryland to help realize how much they really needed this. It's, so it's just, I'm trying to fill that niche on the golfing side or, you know, custom purses. And so it's funny you asked about the sewing. So actually I didn't used to sew. I had to teach myself. And when I was growing up, my mother was really good. Like, she actually wanted to be a seamstress. And she tried as hard as she could to teach me to sew. And I was the kid that, in middle school, the first sewing project I had to do when you had to take home economics, is I made a shirt and then I sewed the front to the back because I was getting very elaborate with all these different shapes and didn't realize you can't just sew them all together because it doesn't fit. So I refused to learn. So it's kind of a shame she's not with us anymore because I actually started teaching myself to sew about the same year that she passed away. So it's been a good journey, though. I mean, my gosh, I love YouTube. Like, how did we live without YouTube? My career probably would have been completely different had we had YouTube in the 2000s, you know?
And because you can, like, learn almost anything that you really need to.
That's exactly
it. There's a world, there's
a way. Yeah. So, I mean, not only did I teach myself to sew, I also do my own art. I'm doing my own, and I'm not really artistic. Like, I don't have that ability. I'm not like some people where they sit down and like, oh, I'm just going to draw this out. It takes a lot when I do it. But because of YouTube, I have learned all these different skills, and I know how to use other tools to make things happen the way how I need them to be.
And you made that shirt?
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Was it
awesome.
Just a sewing kit?
Like,
is that, like, handmade?
Yeah, so I bought this on, there's a company I use called spoonflower.com where you can get anyone's design. I also put my own designs up there, and you can buy them on material. And
what fabric is that?
This is called Performance Peak. So it's it breathes. It's good for golf, of course. Everything's good for golf.
Naturally.
It just wears really well. And I happen to love making golf shirts that could also be dress shirts for work, because you never know when you're going to need to go to the golf course.
Well, there. I mean, it's also cute that you're wearing a golf shirt right now, and you look totally buttoned up and professional.
Yeah.
I love it.
Very versatile.
With like a pop of color, I love it. What's your bestseller? What's your best-selling item?
Right now, I would say it's the embroidered golf towels because
they're so cute. Guys, you gotta look on their website. So cute.
Yeah, so I've got a Black Eye Susan that's got the Maryland flag in it, and I've got the crab with the Maryland flag in it. But I also have a lot of custom stuff. So I have people who will send me stuff, and I won't do copyrighted stuff, so please don't send me Ravens, O's. I'm not gonna do it. Mm-hmm. But they'll send me, like, you know, ideas that they have, or if they own the copyright, they'll say, you know, can you do this? For example, I have a charity that just reached out and they asked if I could do 130 towels for them, and they gave me two different logos, you know, for their sponsors. And so that was really fun to be able to put that together for them and to say, yeah.
And you handed all the embroidered 130 towels.
I have a machine. I don't hand do it.
Okay.
I have a machine that does this.
So I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it's that machine.
Talk about
is very
a
helpful.
Labor of love. Like,
oh yeah, that I could not do. No.
No, it's very cool. Your line is super, super cute, and a portion of your proceeds are some of your different lines go to charity, correct?
For the cancer. The cancer survivor, because I happen to be a cancer survivor. I've had cancer in 2019 and in 21, and right now everything is good and clear. But I just, again, it's another one of those places where I felt like in golf, we just don't have enough stuff out there where you can say, hey, I'm a warrior, I'm a survivor. Or if you know someone who's going through a tough time, like I make bags as well. Mm. Being able to donate back to them is, it's just a pleasure of mine to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
How did you get involved in golf? Like, where did that passion really?
That was another funny story.
Yeah.
See, so 2013 was a very pivotal year. So my mother passed away, and so did my brother-in-law. Mm. So I started sewing, and then my brother-in-law was a big golfer. Now, I never liked golf. I don't watch golf. I didn't want to like golf. I was working on my MBA. And so there was a lot of talk when you're doing your MBA that you really should know how to play golf because a lot of business happens on the golf course.
They talked to you about that when you're getting your MBA?
Yes, but what's really funny about that is that I had already been a VP at Key Bank in Cleveland for like 10 years.
Yeah.
But I remembered not being invited to golf outings. And I also wouldn't have even been willing to go because I knew I didn't know how to play and I didn't want to mess it up for other people. So yeah, so I was like, okay, fine. I will go learn your golf if I have to do this for business. And so I went to this clinic, and as soon as I hit the ball, I went, oh, that was so much fun. And so
got the bug.
Yeah, yep. I got the bug. I really had never really played sports
oh
very much.
And I didn't know if, like, it really, really got, like, bit by the
yeah.
golf bug.
Yeah,
oh, I did. I did.
That's the thing, too.
The people
yeah.
in my class yeah. actually were starting to wonder if I was going to graduate because I was spending so much time out golfing.
Golfing, yeah, yeah, yeah. My God, that's so funny.
And how did you get involved with the Amateur Golf Association of Baltimore? I know you were a former president, right, of the LPGA, well, Amateur Association.
Yeah, so how that started out is when I moved here in 2015, I was looking for friends because, you know, you don't know anybody when you move back.
Right.
And looking for golfers. And there was an association that was called the Executive Women's Golf Association. That association was started in 94. And at the time it was started, that was when women couldn't go golf. Like, you know, courses would turn them away. They had to beg and borrow to be able to get on the course. So I joined them and made a lot of friends. And Jane Geddes, who is a professional golfer, she became our CEO. And so she actually saw an opportunity for the LPGA to buy us because LPGA wanted to expand their services to amateurs. Not amateurs who are trying to become professionals. They just want to see women get into golf. Mm-hmm. All skill levels, all ages. You know, you name it, if they want to see you get in and succeed. So they bought us in 2018, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was 2018 that we made the switch to become the LPGA Amateurs. There are 130 chapters across the U.S. There's also a couple in other states. Other countries. I think we have one in Spain and in the Bahamas. Maybe Italy too. So I haven't had a chance to go travel and visit any of them, but I'd like to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, me too.
Especially Italy, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take me, by the way, if you go.
Yeah, so I had gotten on the board because I just wanted to provide more things to our members. So here in Cleveland, now I'm in Baltimore. We're in Baltimore. So we have about 140 members. And it's all volunteers. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, setting up events, trying to set up social events for folks. And that was what I really enjoyed doing.
Yeah. That's great. What else we got here?
So there was a recent tournament. It was the Masters. So we'll talk about Tiger Woods having to drop out. Do you know why?
Actually, no.
Oh my, I thought you were like a golfer.
I am a golfer.
He had to drop out because he had plantar fasciitis. It's called the PF. I have that. Apparently, it's very common amongst golfers.
The PF makes it sound so much worse.
That's the PF.
Yeah.
And it is painful. So when it was kind of like, okay, so it was really painful when it happened. And I was like telling like my parents and like my partner, his family, their doctors, and they were like, oh my God, you gotta go to an orthopedic. Oh my God. Like you're like 80 years old, but really like in a 35-year-old's body, like you're screwed. And I was just like, well, this is great. And I got like all these compression socks and like all this stuff. Like it's not funny. It really hurts.
it does hurt, but girl, there are like exercises you can do.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I was new to the PF family, okay? So then I like did some exercises. I put a tennis ball under my foot.
Yeah,
and whatnot,
yeah. You get it once, and then you deal with it, and then you're like, okay, we don't ever
want
this to happen
again. But it was very serious. I wanted to talk to you about it.
Yep.
It rocked the golf world. Tiger Woods, I feel you. It really hurts. I know you're listening out there. It is so painful, though. But yeah, I didn't realize it was very common amongst golfers and professional athletes.
Yes, professional athletes. Yeah, yes. They get the PF quite often, unfortunately. Yeah.
So painful. Yeah, you can go to pf.org.
I'm just kidding.
We're trying to generate support for Kendall and her
ailment. Or G can tell you don't get compression socks. Just do some exercises.
Step on a tennis ball.
That's right. There's special exercises. It'll help.
But so you are familiar with the PF.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's very painful.
Oh, it is.
That's why our man Tiger Woods had to drop out.
Yep.
Next year, buddy.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Next year. We'll see.
We shall see.
I want him to have just another green coat. I want a green coat.
A green coat.
Is that what you get?
the green jack.
The green coat.
So, you know, here's
I love to see more of that green coat.
Dude, whatever. Coat, jacket, tomato, tomato.
That's fantastic.
Shut up, Alex.
Before we get into Plead the Fifth, Gene, did you want to give any charitable organizations or community organizations a quick shout out?
Maybe a green coat, too.
Yeah, a green coat. They might be cold, you know.
Oh, you know, I always have to give a shout out to the Susan Coleman you know, Cancer Society, yeah. in all the things that they do. You know, every state has a local chapter, it seems, and you know, it's a place where if you donate your money, you know that they're putting it to good use, whether it's to research or helping those who are going through the process.
It's wonderful. So yeah, do you want to hop into everyone's favorite segment?
We are.
Awesome.
Okay. So now we're going to get into Plead the Fifth. This is everybody's favorite segment of the podcast. We're going to ask Jean a round of rapid-fire questions. She has no clue what we're about to ask. Alex is going to kick it off because Alex loves this part, and he's going to do Shag, Marry, Kill.
Yes. So Shag, Marry, Kill, everyone's favorite hypothetical, you know, schoolyard game, I suppose, growing up.
Explain
it. We're cleaning up the... language a little bit for this one, but shag is kind of the one-night stand, right? The person, place, or thing that you would want to have a one-night stand with. Marry is obviously you want to spend the rest of your life with this person, place, or thing. And then kill is let's get this guy or gal or whomever thing out of here. We're going to stay in the golf world. So shag, marry, kill, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, or Arnold Palmer. And I think two of those three gentlemen have green coats. So...
Okay. I think you're right.
Yes.
So let's see. Rory is who I would marry. He's just a cutie, and he's just fun.
He's
like, you know what? Your guys' preppy like style, so would work. You'd be a good-looking golf couple.
let's see. Arnold Palmer. He makes a really good drink. So we'll shag him. And
I like that.
And yeah, we're done with Tiger.
We're done with Tiger. Yeah.
is it because he has the PF?
Yep. Just discriminating.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, plantar fasciitis suffers. That's
well,
okay.
Yeah, he can't keep up with me.
I should start a club. Starts like some hotline for people.
We should have like a telethon or something for that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep it in the bedroom. do you eat in bed?
No.
No.
That's what I like to hear.
So, do you know anybody that snacks in bed?
That snacks
yeah,
the
that
bed.
Likes to eat in bed. We had a lady, and she shall remain nameless. She'll be coming up, and she knows who she is. She ate crabs in bed.
Wow.
Steamed crabs.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, with a
mallet and everything.
I was like,
wow, I don't even know
I don't know how
do
you
that.
Do that on a mattress, but God bless her. You know?
When you sleep, do you wear socks or no?
No socks.
No socks.
Good. Again, not a serial killer, so that's good.
I was telling the other guest this. I make my partner, Alan, wear socks because his feet are so gross.
He probably hates it, too.
He does. He
Poor
complains.
Guy.
He's like, but my feet get hot. I said, until you get a pedicure, those feet are not coming in.
I don't even think it's that it gets hot. It's just like your feet under the covers. They have, I don't know. It's just something weird about it.
Look, Alex.
I don't trust people
if we were married and you had
socks.
Gross feet, I'd make you do the same.
You probably would.
I'm really tough. And maybe you could wear a green jacket in bed. Some socks.
The green coat. Yeah.
Jeez. Go ahead.
Speaking of golf and green coats, what is the most annoying thing that people do on the golf course?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be the ones that complain about women, and then when you're behind those same people, they're the ones that are hitting their ball and it's going in the woods and they need to spend 10 minutes looking for the damn ball because they won't pay $1.50 to buy a new ball.
Yep.
You've got more balls in there. Like I don't want to have annoying. A 6-hour round. Yep. I want to be done in 4 hours at the most.
So you're like quick when you play.
Oh, I am.
Yes. Yeah. Slow play plagues the sport.
Interesting.
So that's for sure.
If you could go back in time and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
That's a great question. I would go back and I would tell her to read this book called Essentialism. This book has got a section in there about how it's okay to say no. Like, you know, a lot of times because we're nice people, we want to get things done, we want to help other people, we say yes too many times. And if you say yes all the time, there's no room then to say yes to something that's really important. And we also don't need to make excuses. So it can just be no. It's like, so I love it when people invite me to their Mary Kay parties and their Pampers Chef parties, because I used to have an excuse because, you know, there was always something going on. Now I'm just like, no, that's not for me, but thank you. And boom, the conversation is done and I can move on and I don't feel bad. So I just think it's really important, though. I really embrace that.
I love
that. It's okay to say no.
Yeah.
I feel like it's okay, too. Like you just said, like saying no just shuts it down. But when you do have an excuse, it opens. I never even thought about it like that. And it opens the door for a lot more questions. Mm-hmm. When really all you just had to do was say no.
Yep, in the first place.
Like, seriously. It's great advice.
What would you say is one of the bigger lessons that you've learned from your cancer journey?
that life is short. I mean, so my mother passed away of cancer. So watching what happened with her, it was 6 months. And but what was wonderful about it is that when we found out about her diagnosis, like, she embraced it and we embraced her, and the whole family just like saw her as much as we could. We talked as much as we could for 6 months, and our relationship got so much deeper. Like, I wish I would have done that a lot longer than before that. So when the first time we found out that I had cancer, that was one of the things that I had already embraced, was trying to do more and getting to the second round. It's also why I launched this business. Like, it's just, I realized there's so much I want to do, and there's so much that's fun that you can do for other people. So I'm just kind of putting myself out there and doing everything I possibly can, as much as I can. And so that's why, you know, it's I have the tagline that says, you know, wear something bold. Life is short, wear something bold.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Gene, thank you. This was great. I feel like we have some stuff that we could do in the future, whether it's getting a big green coat with some of your funky patterns, starting a PF support group.
Right. We'll get there. One day at a time, Kendall.
But in all seriousness, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about just the transactional side, property management. That was huge. I think that is so important because we have so many people who follow, and I get asked on the daily more and more about property management. And I think now more than ever, because buying a home is it's more challenging and it's not affordable, people are really starting to look into the property management side and how to create passive income and wealth that way as well. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with that. It's important.
Yeah, we appreciate everything. So
I think that does it. I'm Kendall. This is Alex. This is Gene. Thank you all so much. Same time.